Hi, I'm Abigail, and I'm addicted to money. So for the next 50 seconds, I'd like to feel dirty, inconsiderate, manipulative, and ashamed. I apparently agreed to play the game of life by the rules made by the rich in order to make them more rich. And because I feel powerless and out of control, I am asking you to listen to this ad for Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your computer or phone. Anchor will distribute your podcast wherever you can get podcasts. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And everything you need to make a podcast is in one place. So download Anchor for free on the app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So yeah, that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. What is up, weirdos? You're listening to the Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host, and this is the podcast where we talk about relationships. Update, I have not been able to recover the files that I lost on my computer. So this is part one, the interview with Nicholas Tinek that I did on his podcast, Your Kinky Friends. Everybody should go listen and check that out. I'll put links in the description and everything. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
All right, here we go.
Awesome.
Hello.
I don't need to do anything, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Hello, everybody. This is Nicholas Tanek with YourKinkyFriends.com. Oh, my God. I have a wonderful guest with me today on this Saturday after Christmas. And it is Saturday, right? I don't even know what day it is anymore.
I think so.
So yeah, we did a show together. I was on her show, and what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about, you know, kink and sex and stuff like that. But we're gonna talk about podcasting. Now this is gonna be a very different show. This woman is not a professional dominatrix. She's not, like, you know, anything like that. She's a broadcaster. She's an interviewer. She's a you know, but the one reason she's on the show is because she's very open-minded, very funny, very intelligent. Also, if I must say, she's also very beautiful. Please welcome the magnificent Abigail from the Manic Pixie Weirdo podcast. Say hi.
Hi. Hello, everybody. Hope everybody's doing good on this. I think it's Saturday too. I hope so, because that's what I'm at.
Because I got stuff to do on Monday. I hope it's not like.
Yeah, I need at least 2 days. So yeah.
So okay, Abigail's the host of the Manic Pixie Weirdo podcast. It's a very, very fun podcast. She's very. Like I said, she's very funny. She's very intelligent. But most importantly, she's very open-minded. And before we get into the podcast things, let me just ask this, because I always ask this. You're not necessarily 100%. If you want to classify yourself as this, that's awesome. It's great, too. But I don't want to classify you. You know, I don't want to be the person that classifies you. So, like, but let me tell you, let me ask you this. This is how I reword the question for burlesque performers. The first time, you have a very open mind when it comes to being sexually expressive, not only by your yourself, but you don't mind talking about it and stuff like that. So can you tell us about the very, very first time you were, like, kind of out and proud as a sexually expressive person? Like, was it at a party? Was that at a show? Was it just with one person?
I don't know. I was always pretty sexual, like, even as a child. Obviously, I didn't really know, like, what I was doing. But I was pretty sexual just as a child. And it kind of just carried over. But, like, when I very first, I guess, came out openly, like, sexual, I was probably, probably 18 or 19 when I, like, very first decided, like, you know what, I'm just gonna lean into this and we're just gonna try some stuff. So Yeah.
That's awesome. And before we get into the, we're gonna go deep into podcasting and your podcasting and everything like that. But before we do that, this is your kinky friends. So, like, what would you like? I always ask, like, what are your specialties or what are your main interests when it comes into sexual expression? Some people are very dominant. Some people are submissive. Some people like to dress up like dogs. You know what I mean? Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I guess like specific interest. I'm kind of more on the BDSM side of things. I do enjoy that. I haven't, like I said, I'm pretty new to the community, in general. But it looks very, it just looks like something that I like want to do. So like the bondage stuff, we talked about a little bit on my podcast, you know, like candle wax, stuff like that. So that's sort of the direction that I like sort of lean towards more rather than I would say like role playing or like dressing up or something like that. I do kind of like to dress up, but mostly I just like to get naked and have sex.
Okay, no, that's fair. It's important to know what you're like. All right, let's talk about the Manic Pixie Weirdo podcast. Now, I did this episode with you, and I had an amazing time. It was really, really fun. It was like an hour and a half. I don't know if you're going to cut it, some of it or anything like that.
Yeah, it's probably going to be two parts.
Oh, that's cool. Even better. But we really, really, really had a good time. So, first of all, tell us about the podcast. How would you you're somewhere and you're like, oh, I have a podcast. And they're like, someone says, what's it? Tell us about it.
It's about relationships. But not just like, I didn't want to do just like your basic sort of relationships, you know, like your relationship with your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or like your parents. I do some of those, but I wanted to talk about like all the different kinds of relationships that people have in their lives with all the different kinds of things, because you don't like relationships are not exclusive to just like people. You can have relationships with anything and with everything. And so I kind of wanted to just explore all of those different kind of relationships that I have, as well as like other people have too. So what I generally do is I'll usually post like a solo. So like for yours, when I interviewed you, the first episode that will come out will be just me specifically talking about like kinks. But then after that, it'll be the interview that I had with like you. It'll be the two-part episodes that I had with you about like your relationship with them and like how and all the different. So it's sort of my personal, but then I want to get like other people's takes on it too. So, because I can't be the only one. There's no way.
That's interesting. Now, the name Manic Pixie Weirdo Podcast. I absolutely adore that name. I think because sometimes I can get a little manic, you know, just, you know, when I leave my house, I'm like, phone, keys, wallet. So there's the manic episode about it. Then the weirdo episode, the weirdo part about it is that I am a huge weirdo. Like I like the weirdest stuff. Like if anything, you know, like comes up with entertainment or anything like that, books, movies, film, if it the weirder the better, I'll check it out. Oh, yeah. Even if it's not good, right? And then there's the whole Pixie thing. First of all, I was a big fan of the band the Pixies, and you know, and the Pixies were kind of like mischievous and stuff like that. So tell us about, why did you name your podcast that? Oh, and before you answer that, Rocky.
Hi.
Saying, hi, mistress. She's not necessarily a mistress, though, just so you know. I do interview many mistresses, you know, but she's more of a broadcaster and a journalist and an educator, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. Just so you know, Rocky Singh. But thank you very much. Hello. Okay, so why did you come up with that name? Or what was the origin of that specific name for the podcast?
Well, I love writing and I love film. I'm a big I write, and I sort of hesitate to call myself a writer because I haven't like published anything. But I do love writing and I love film. And Nathan Rabin back in the early 2000s came up, I guess he sort of coined the term the Manic Pixie Dream Girl. And it's considered more of like a derogatory term towards women, because he used it to describe Kirsten Dunst in Elizabethtown, her character, and her whole, like the whole idea behind the Manic Pixie Dream Girl is essentially she's sort of like stuck in time. She doesn't, like she doesn't ever grow up. So it's that Neverland sort of, you know, Lost Boys situation. But the whole purpose of the Manic Pixie Dream Girl is to tell, you know, the male in the film kind of just to embrace, you know, the mystery and the adventure of life, and to kind of help funnel him through like a rough time in his life. And like I said, it became sort of a derogatory term over the years, but I liked the aspect of like the adventure and the mystery of life and just embracing that. I like that concept. And so I called it the Manic Pixie Weirdo because the weirdo is also a writing term and a character archetype. And I am 100% a weirdo. I don't make any sense. I'm an enigma. I like a whole bunch of different things that really have no relationship with each other. I just like them, and I like learning new things, and I like the mystery and adventure of life. But it also kind of serves as a dual purpose because I do have like manic depression, and so it's sort of, I can be manic at times too. So it just sort of, I thought it really encompassed like who I was, and kind of just like, this is just what we're doing. Like, we're just going to talk about relationships, and we're just going to see where life and conversations take us with other people. And there's no judgment, and just be kind. Like, that's it. That's just like, let's just see what happens. So that's kind of how I came to the name.
Yeah, definitely. And I've, you know, throughout my years, I always kind of felt that I was a weirdo and an outcast. And, you know, normal people are boring.
Well, I don't even know what that term means anymore. Like, normal, what is normal? It's all relative, you know. It's completely relative and subjective. So, oh, hi.
Ma'am, you love trampling.
I don't know what that means. Sorry, I don't know what that means.
Ma'am, I think he means ma'am. You love trampling, meaning like standing and walking on people. Like literally walking on people.
Oh, I would be so scared to do that. I wouldn't want to like hurt anybody.
I would be afraid to fall, like trip. I'd be like clumsy because, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've walked on people's backs before.
Yeah.
But I'm like always scared that I'm like gonna, you know, like dislocate something or something, you know, something insane.
Yeah. Oh, so someone's another movie lover. Do you share some fetishism movies or serials?
I'm not entirely sure what that means. Like I think, in a specific film or? Like,
yeah,
like,
I think the person, for example, during your podcast, when you interviewed me, I showed you this.
Oh, this, yeah.
A movie called Preaching to the Perverted. And this is the packaging.
I love it. I love it.
And it's a really funny movie, and this movie really deals hardcore with fetishism and stuff like that. So there are movies like Matrice, Sid and Nancy, you know, some just kind of sprinkle fetishism and BDSM on it, but some, you know, some go like hardcore. There's like a movie called Hardcore with George C. Scott. So it's like, are there certain I guess what he's asking is, do you like movies or television shows that deal with fetishism?
I don't really care. Like, if it's in the movie, I don't really care. Or if it's even, if that's like the whole thing of the movie, like if that's the theme of the movie, absolutely. I will say that I haven't really watched a lot of fetish films just because I simply, you know, am ignorant and don't really know what a lot of those would be. I'm willing to learn though. But I think the one film that I probably saw that I was kind of like, oh, I don't really know, was 50 Shades of Grey. And I know there's like a lot of controversy around that. And everything that I've looked into just kind of about that film or those films, I guess, has kind of been like, yeah, it's like not like that at all. And
yeah, no, it's definitely not like that at
all. Yeah. And so, and like the more that I dive into it, the more I'm like, I kind of like the real life version of it better than like whatever was portrayed in the film. But I haven't seen a lot of like, I guess, exclusively fetish films. I'm open to try them though. Absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah. But I think what, like, for example, Preaching to the Perverted is not necessarily, it's not porn. It's not meant for people to get
off.
Oh,
yeah, that's not what I mean by exclusive. Yeah. I just mean, like, I guess more fetish-friendly films, I suppose.
Yeah, like, there's a really very funny film called Personal Services with directed by Stephen Jones, by Monty Python, the Monty Python crew. And it's a true story about a woman who's broke, a middle-aged woman is broke, and she starts a brothel in her house. And there's...
Oh, you talked to me about this. Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about this. Yeah, yeah. That Personal Services. That's so good.
Yeah, I've got them in my, like, Amazon queue. So I'm just, like, waiting.
Deli, it's... During ball busting, how to feel? I don't know if she does ball busting. This is a different...
I don't know... It's fine. I don't really care. I'll answer. But I don't know. I wouldn't know. I've never done that. I don't know.
Some people. Oh, here's a good one. You're like this one.
Do I like armpit fetish? I don't know. I've never tried it. I have no idea. I haven't, like, you know, explored that part of my sexuality yet. I don't know. I'm definitely open to try it. But I just simply don't know.
Yeah. So I was talking to someone from the Netherlands who I've talked to many times before. And her whole thing is body consumption. So like she'll sweat, she'll stick her armpits and suffocate men in her, you know?
Oh, okay. I was like, I'm not sure.
And she's not even a professional dominatrix. She does it for fun.
Oh, well, hey, there you go. I support you. Do I wear lipstick? I saw that one.
Yeah.
I do wear makeup, but I don't wear makeup all the time. I kind of, it's sort of reserved for like weddings, funerals, like super, super special occasions. I don't wear makeup all the time.
Weddings and funerals, the real... You know, the real upbeat things that we have to
do. Right. Yeah. The really upbeat things and completely unnecessary tasks to do as a human being.
Yeah. Amit Kondu, I'm so sorry. Don't be sorry, man. It's okay. This is the free for all for everybody. You're all here to have fun. Thank you for your comment, Amit.
Yes. Also, it is incredibly difficult to offend me. So, like, it's don't hesitate to ask anything. Like, it's the chances of you of being able to offend me are very slim. So, it's totally
okay,
fine.
All right. Let me ask you. All right. This is, I'm going to pose to you a challenge.
Okay.
The C word. What's your opinion on that?
Are you talking about, like, the C word for my...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
When someone calls someone else a C word.
I mean...
No, not like, oh, I want to sniff.
No, I know. Like as a derogatory way. Like,
yeah,
that
like,
kind of
you're
thing.
A dumb C word.
To be perfectly honest, I could care less.
I really could.
I could care. I mean, I understand, like, from a feminist point of view, or like from like that sort of like political angle. To me, it's like, I don't really care. My general comeback to, like, if somebody were to call me that, I'd be like, yeah, I definitely have one, and it can take a pounding. Like,
no, so, people don't realize that people use male genitalia in the same derogatory way. You know, someone calling someone like a dick,
right,
or
right,
a cunt, you know,
right,
it should be just as insulting. It just doesn't sound as tough, I think.
I guess. Yeah, that's true. That's really true. I guess my other thing with like calling someone that is, one of the reasons why it doesn't offend like me personally is because there's like such a lack of creativity in calling someone that, that it's like almost depressing to me. It's just like, if that's the best that you can come up with to call somebody that, like, you really haven't thought about this. Like, it's just, it's an incredible lack of creativity. And so it's a little bit disappointing. It's like, if that's the best you can do, like, I kind of feel bad for you.
You know what? The internet really inspires insults dealing with genitalia. And one of the things I thought was very funny was the term douche canoe.
Never heard of that. What is that? I'm not hip with the kids. I'm not up on all this stuff. I've never been a cool kid, like, ever. So I don't know. I don't even know what that is. But I mean, I like, see, and that's it. Like, I like douches. They're incredibly useful. So,
all right, so,
and they work pretty hard. So,
okay, when it comes to, okay, we came up with your name. Now, technically, I know a lot of people who have their own podcasts and stuff like that, and they're doing it right out of their home or their office or their basement or whatever, and you know, but there's, not everybody knows the technical aspects of it. First of all, you need, you know, a computer, you need a mic, internet access, you know, so there's a sound quality. Me, I do it like lo-fi punk rock style, but yours is more of a high quality thing, or all the other part, you know. So how did you prepare and get ready to start this off?
Oh, well, the way you make it sound like I put in a lot of like time, effort, and energy into it, and I really didn't. I actually did a podcast about podcasting, and I have always loved podcasts. It's kind of been one of these things that have been sort of a security blanket for me, and I had a mic and like a mic stand. I had two because I was originally actually going to do it with my mom, but like it just got too crazy. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it by myself. And my mom can be a guest on the show kind of whenever, you know, whenever she's free. And it always seemed like a really fun, easy way to like sort of get your voice out there and talk about interesting things to people. And so I just kind of did it. Like, I really just kind of did it. I just sort of set everything up, and then I have a voice recording like app on my computer, and I was just like, I guess just start talking and like see what happens. And then I am a voice actress, and so I do know how to like manipulate the audio to like make it so like it sounds okay, and like, you know, extract like in post when I'm editing, like extract sort of like external background noise, like that kind of stuff. So I have like a very rudimentary sort of like enough knowledge to be dangerous, but I don't like, I would not consider it professional knowledge, of just like how to post stuff and like upload everything and make sure the audio quality is good and that kind of thing. So it wasn't really, it was more just like, I guess I'm just going to do this and we'll just see what happens. It really wasn't, I didn't really have like a thorough thought out plan or anything.
Now, I got into podcasts when right when Lynn, you know, started getting sick. I was going back and forth to work. I stopped really listening to the radio that much, and I just started listening to the podcast. Now, the podcasts that I started listening to were either movie related or comedy related, you know, so there was a podcast which I help out on every once in a while with promotion, in the Best Show with Tom Sharpling, which is an amazing, amazing podcast, a huge following. And that led to stuff like, you know, get me interested in Doug Love Movies, Hollywood Handbook, of course, Double Threat, WTF with Marc Maron, stuff like that.
Maron, I love him so much.
he's good. And but then I got, because my morbid sense got me into true crime. And so there's the last podcast on the left.
Yes.
Which is an incredible podcast. Like, they do their research and they're funny as hell.
I sort of have like a personal attachment to it because Marcus Parks, the guy who does all the research, you know, Marcus, he went to Texas Tech, and Texas Tech is the town that I was born in. Is in the town that I was born in. So I kind of have like a little personal connection to him that way.
What's funny, remember we were talking about me commissioning paintings for my girlfriend? The Lady of Sense got commissioned by the last podcast on the left, a painting by that where she's on a table and her chest is wide open. They're all eating.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. I'm kind of jealous. That's so cool.
And on top of that, she like added to like the coloring book and stuff like that. And then there's of course My Favorite Murder, which is interesting. You know, there are some true crime podcasts that I don't want to mention, let's put it that way, that are very popular, you know, and stuff like that. So what are the podcasts that really kind of sparked your intention into, or sparked your or initiative into doing podcasts?
Well, I've actually been into podcasts for a very long time. And it started sort of as like a way for me to, I guess, get involved and like understand that like there are other people out there. It's not just me. And one of the things, and so I was probably like in seventh or eighth grade when I started having interest in podcasts. But I guess recently the podcasts that helped me that I was just like, you know what? I just need to do it. Like, I just need to have a podcast. Like, I just need to do it. I love podcasts. I love listening to podcasts. They're super fun. I just need to do it was My Favorite Murder, Last Podcast on the Left. The Dollop.
Oh yeah.
Love The Dollop. The West Wing Thing. Fopped. I mean, they're just, the list is the Joe Rogan Experience, just a whole bunch of, I just started like really diving into the world of podcasts and really figuring out that like, no, there's a podcast for everything. Like, if I have something to say, there's pretty much a category that I could drop into and like, it's totally fine. So I didn't really realize that podcasts, I guess naively, I didn't realize that podcasts were like that broad, that like they kind of covered a whole range of topics. And once I realized that like, oh no, it's literally just talk about anything, I was like, oh, okay. So like, I can really do this. Like, I really can just like do whatever.
Yeah, the beauty of it, I think, is that there's like, there really doesn't have to be a structure. It's like, don't get me wrong, I'm like late night talk show hosts and stuff like that. Like Trevor Noah, Charlie Rose give good interviews and everything like that. You know, there's a structure to it, and I have a structure to my show, but I like it very loose. I like it just to have it like two friends talking. Yeah. But okay, I gotta tell you this story. Did I ever tell you about the podcast for laundry?
No. What is this?
So a friend of mine, so I know Tom Sharpling from The Best Show, which is a very, very popular podcast, and one of the people is he won an Andy Kaufman Award, actually, in New York City. He worked with Joe Firestone, worked with a lot of very, very, he's a funny dude. He had his own television show called The Special Without Brett Davis, because he was Brett Davis wasn't there. He always came, showed up as a character, right? So, so what happens is, as a joke, this is a total throwaway joke. He did a podcast called The Podcast for Laundry, which is, it's a podcast to listen to while you do your laundry, right? And he's obsessed with laundry, but he has like real guests. Like he's got, you know, Chris Gethard, Tom Sharpling, and like he's got like I don't want to go through the whole list, but a lot of guests. And I know the dude, right? So, and he's, let's put it this way, he's a laundry snob. And the whole joke of the podcast is the fact that folding is important, and you know quality detergent's important, and what songs are important, and you know, the character, it's a character, you know, but like he ends up like murdering someone, he ends up in prison, he ends up living in Janine Garofalo's laundromat in her apartment. So he was on my show, and I was interviewing him like in a serious
right way.
And meanwhile, Melissa and Luna were wearing French maid outfits.
Ooh. With
garter belts and stockings and folding laundry and really making him mad because it was a big thing of generic Tide.
Yeah.
You know, it's really,
I need to listen to this. It sounds like, I really do.
No, watch it. Okay. Oh yeah. You see like butts, like, I mean, in underwear, but right, like with garter belts and stuff like that. It's really funny. Yeah. Just look up, go to the search button in Your Kinky Friend and just type Brett, Brett, and or laundry.
Right.
Like, it's the only thing that's going to make it pop up.
I love it.
Nicholas, is she? Oh, okay. Aaron asks, are you accepting slaves?
Not at this time.
No, sorry, Aaron. Yeah, unemployment's really, really high these days.
I get it.
All right. So there are all these platforms of podcasts. There's iTunes, there's Switcher, there's Audible, you know, you name it. What seems to be working best for you?
Well, I used to like iTunes a lot, but then like a lot of the podcasts that I just listen to regularly like switched over to Spotify. And so I've kind of just been using Spotify because that's like where like they're like exclusively only on Spotify. And so I was like, I guess I like have to get a Spotify now. But I like the when they were available on iTunes, I like the iTunes version better. But I think that's just because I have an iPhone. And so like,
it's easy. You just hit a button.
Yeah. But I mean, Spotify is fine too. I don't really. You know, Spotify. I haven't tried the Audible like version. That seems fairly new. Like I'm on there, but I just haven't like listened to it or anything. So I don't really know anything about that. I like Pandora. Pandora's pretty good too. But you know, I really mainly just do like Spotify and iTunes because that's where all my shows are.
Okay. Now I've as a broadcaster, basically, I've been on your show. I had a blast on it. It was like more than an hour and a half. We were hanging out. And one thing about you, and I like to think I share the same trait. I like to think I share the same trait that you made me feel very, very comfortable. You know, and like I'll talk about anything. You know, you're like one of those kind of people who like, oh yeah, I'll talk about anything. Not judgmental or anything like that. Now, was this a conscious thing or was this something that you just like born that way? Or like, how would you describe your, let me break it down like this. How would you describe your interview technique?
Well, I kind of do the same thing with you where I like send you questions, but I like to use them just sort of as a roadmap. They're not just kind of like a guiding thing, like questions that I just immediately have off the top of my head. But if we don't get to all the questions, like then we don't get to all the questions, like it's fine. It doesn't really matter. I just like to see where the conversation goes, but I do like to have at least a little bit of like some semblance of an outline of a possible structure of like an episode. But I don't know, I guess I've just always been like a really curious person. And so I just like to talk to people. Like I just, okay. I don't really care. Like I'm just, you know, I like, let's just talk about it. Like I'm not here to judge you. Trust me. I have absolutely no reason to judge anybody at all. Zero. And so let's just talk like with whatever. And if I don't know something, like, I'll just ask questions. Like, I just want to know, like, tell me about that.
I'm the same way. My ex-wife, I'm not going to say her name, but my ex-wife was like, why do you got to like have conversations with anybody?
Yeah.
Did you ever get that complaint?
I've never gotten like that specific complaint of like, why do you have to talk to everybody? It's more of the, how can you just like talk to people? Like just like a random person in the grocery store. How? Like, how can you have like a 10-minute conversation with somebody? And it's like, I don't know. I just listen and I just want to know, like, just tell me about stuff. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And you try to connect. Okay, let me preface this. I don't have COVID. But I was waiting online to get my COVID test. And it turned out that the person with me or the person in front of me had not only the same exact date, I'm talking year, you know, the same exact date, you know, lived in a town where my grandfather was the mayor of, you know.
What are the odds?
Yeah, it gets weird. And then when she found out my first name, she's like, my husband, that's his, my husband's name. And then I tested negative.
Well. It was a good day. It was a good day all the way around.
It was.
I had a similar thing happen to me when I was younger. I was like a kid. I was like pet sitting for somebody like in the neighborhood that we lived in. And it turned out that the people that I was pet sitting for, their son had, we were born on the exact same day, in the exact same hospital, in the exact same year, like a floor apart. But he was older than me by like 10 minutes or something. You know, he was born like 10 minutes before I was or some nonsense like that. And it was just the most random thing.
That's wild. Okay. So one of the last episodes you did of your show, the Manic Pixie Weirdo podcast, dealt with depression.
Mm-hmm.
Dealt with depression. If you do you mind if I dive into this a little bit?
No, go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you have an episode on depression. I kind of deal with depression myself. You're not going to, let me put it this way. I don't have a noose. I don't own guns. I'm not right. Looking your way. In my personal opinion, there's no like clean and easy way to kill yourself without being a burden to somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to clean up after me. You know what I mean? Like, oh, oh, this blood, you know. So, all right, good question. So how do you, I mean, yes, people can go listen to the episode and everything like that, on iTunes and Audible and Twitter.
All the places, yeah, all the places.
Yeah, but just real quick, how do you deal with it?
Well, I used to take medication. I'm kind of like I got tired of taking medication. So I'm just sort of doing like the natural holistic stuff, probably, you know, like that kind of, you know, just vitamins and shit. And I work out. It comes in waves for me because I am bipolar. So, it can come in waves. And I do have manic depression too. So it can be, it can manifest itself in a whole bunch of different ways. But I know myself well enough to know, like, I'm 27. And so, but I've been in, like, I'm really big advocate for, like, therapy and just like doing what you feel like you need to do to take care of yourself and your mental health. All about it. Just do it. Like, if that's what you need, absolutely. But I just, and so I'm 27 and I know, I like to think that I know myself well enough to know, like, when I'm starting to feel like I'm going to have a bout of depression, like, start or like hit, or I'm on that downswing. And so what I do is I just kind of, I have to like mentally prepare myself. So I just kind of talk myself, I kind of just like talk to myself about it, like internally, my internal dialogue is just kind of like, okay, you know, like, I know that we're getting to that place where, you know, like the depression is going to start to get bad, but like, what do I need to do like right now? And, you know, like my mission in life is most likely not to be like Gandhi or Mother Teresa. Not like, that's probably not like the ultimate, like my, it's probably most likely not. It's just not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that, like, you know, right now, today, there aren't things that I can do to like improve my quality of life and the quality of life of those around me. And so I just kind of have to like talk to myself about like, okay, well, what do I need to do today? I have laundry that needs to get done. You know, I have dishes that need, just kind of slowly, just little steps of things that I can do. And sometimes I only get like one or two things on my list done a day, but that's okay because that's all I could, I felt like I could do that day. But it's a work in progress.
Yeah, totally. Like, I, for me, it doesn't seem to last that long, simply because I have a slew of comedy shit, like, yeah, you know, in my library. So I'm like, I wake up, if I'm in that mood, I like start sobbing. I'm like, okay, all right, it's like. And then I put on the news, which is a very big mistake.
I was going to say, terrible idea. Terrible plan. Don't ever do that.
I'm like, oh, the last 6 months, the world's ending.
Right.
So that was the end of part one. Part two will be released next week. I hope you guys liked it. It was so much fun. I loved him. He was a joy to have on the podcast. We will definitely have him back. Remember to hopefully like and subscribe if you liked it on the YouTube channel. Rating and giving us a review on iTunes apparently helps a lot. So that would be good, you guys, if you could do that for the podcast. That'd be so helpful. Thank you so much if you choose to do that. You can find us on Twitter at MP Weirdo Podcast. We are also on Instagram at the underscore main underscore weirdo one on Instagram. Our email is manicpixieweirdo@protonmail.com. So email us there. If you want to share your story or, you know, you have topic ideas or anything. So thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Have a good one, guys. Be kind and stay weird. Bye, guys.